Welcome to Souls Harbor Church, a place of grace in Wichita, Kansas. We're glad you're here. We are a full gospel church with a passion for sharing the love of Christ with the world. So if you're looking to receive a word from God, you've come to the right place. Hi there, and welcome to Souls Harbor Church. This is Brother Jim Black. I'm so glad you've decided to join us today to hear from God. We're very excited to have you listening in, but we'd also like to invite you down to see us in person. We have services every Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. at 2601 North Meridian here in Wichita. I know a lot of people are still concerned about safety and social distancing, and I want to assure you that we're taking all necessary precautions to make sure that everyone stays safe. Right now, I invite you to sit back and enjoy a word from God with our pastor, Robert Clark.
I want you to turn with me this morning for a little while and Matthew chapter 16. Chrissy, would you put that up? And verse number 24. And I want to get into that in just a little bit, but I really feel like that God has spoken to my heart the last few weeks about message that seems to tie in one with another over and over again. And I've been amazed at how the Lord has kind of dealt with my heart on these. And so I want you to really, really pay close attention, if you will. There's so much going on in the world today, and so many people are being affected by it. And even Christians today are being affected by what's going on in the world, not only the virus, but the upheaval and that's going on in America today, until people are beginning to wonder what in the world is happening in America today. And so I want to give you something that I feel like God will help you. And so if you will, turn there. Father, we thank you today for the ever-present help of the Lord. We thank you, God, today that you're Lord, here with us today and speaking to your children, your people. We ask you, Father, today to help us, Lord, to rightly divide, God, this word today, that it'll help hearts and people and lift them up in you, I pray. Lord, in Jesus' name, to give them strength and energy, Lord, for the rest of the week and till we can gather together again. Father, I pray that you would do it in Jesus' name. And we'll love and thank and praise you for it now and forever. I want to read this scripture, and I'm coming back to it in just a little bit. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, and he's talking unto those that are with him, that has been following him every day since he started his ministry. He said unto the disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. I want you to look at this, and God dealt with me on the after me. And I thought, God, I don't understand the terminology of this scripture and what it really means. You're asking the disciples to follow you, Lord. They are following you. They've been with you night and day for three and a half years. Why do you say for them, Lord, to follow you when they have already begun to follow you and have been following you? And why do you tell them, Lord, to take up their cross and follow you? They have no need right now to take up a cross and to follow you, because you are taking care of all their needs. So, Lord, what does it mean when you say unto them to take up your cross and follow after me? And I began to look at that word after me, and the Holy Ghost began to deal with me. Now, you may not fully agree, but that's all right. But the after me, I believe that Jesus was talking about after I'm gone. After I've left this world and after I've gone to be with the Heavenly Father, then I want you to take up your cross and I want you to follow me. And I believe that's what God is telling us today, that we are today in the situation where we have to do that. Now, I want you to look at something before we really get into the depths of the message this morning. Last week, I spoke to you on taking up your shield, and I spoke to you how that that the shield has to be light enough to where you can carry it 24 hours of every day, but it's got to be strong enough that it can defeat the enemy every time that it comes against you. So you have to have that shield. And then I spoke unto you about how the Holy Ghost brought to my attention that the shield is to ward off the fiery darts of the enemy. They are not to attach themselves to the shield. If they attach themselves to the shield has become so heavy, you will not be able to carry that shield if everything that comes against you begins to attach itself to that shield. It'll become so heavy, you can't carry it. So it's there to ward off the fiery darts of the enemy or bounce off of that shield so that there it's a way of protection. Now I want to talk to you this morning about the cross that Jesus is talking about. This cross, likened unto the shield, can become very, very heavy if we allow it to do, or it can become very light, depending on how and who you have that will help you to bear that cross. Some of us today are carrying a very heavy cross. Sister Betty is going to be having a complete shoulder replacement in just a very short time. Brother Walker is facing some things about his physical body, and Brother Paul needed to be prayed for this morning. We all have things in our life today that the cross seemingly begins to be very heavy, but everybody has to have a cross. Everybody is going to have a cross that they are going to bear or going to share in this world, and it depends on how light your cross is or heavy it is. Now Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that are labor and heavy laden." You and I that are heavy today and we're laden down with what's going on in this world today, to sometimes we get so despaired that we say, "God, I don't understand. I cannot comprehend what's going on." And it got to the place with me where I was getting so angry and bitter about what was happening. I had to turn the TV off and go out, and I had to ask God to forgive me for the bitterness and the anger that was welling up within me for what was taking place in America today. And this became very heavy. It became a heavy load. It became a burden to me until it was actually sapping my spiritual life or my spiritual strength. Until God spoke to me and said, "Get rid of this thing. Let it bounce off of the shield. Don't let it attach itself to you." And I repented and asked the Lord to help me. Now listen, many of you are heavy laden today. You're carrying a very heavy load today, spiritually, physically, financially, marital, whatever it may be within your life today. Everybody's cross is different and everybody's cross is heavy to that individual that is carrying that cross today. Now I said, Jesus said unto me, "Come unto me, all ye that are weary and that you're heavy laden, and I want you to take my yoke upon you." Listen now what he said, "My yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Dad, and many of you young people don't understand this, but Dad in the when we had teams of horses, and Dad would get a young mare, and she didn't know how to carry the load. She didn't know how to do it, and he would put that with an older mare that knew exactly what to do, and he would put the harness on them, and that old mare would carry the young one until she becomes strong enough and wisdom enough in order to know the type of load that she was carrying. Now Jesus said, "I want you to take my yoke upon you. I want you to harness yourself with me. And then your cross will become light, and the burden you're carrying will no longer be as heavy as you feel it upon your life today. God is saying, step into the yoke. My yoke is easy. I want you to take my yoke and put it upon you. For if you'll do that, the Word of God said that His yoke will be easy and you'll be able to bear what you're going through today. Jesus said, I will not put any more upon you than what you're able to bear. But with the temptation or the trial or the persecution, Jesus said, I will help you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I'll be yoked to you the rest of your life until you stand before me and hear me say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. So if we are going to be yoked with the Lord, then listen to what the Bible said. How can two walk together except they agree? You cannot walk in the yoke with Christ and disagree with Him. You have to agree with Him. But if you don't, you're going to be pulling one way and He's going to be pulling another way. And consequently, you're not going to get anywhere because you're unable to go forward. So you have to bear that yoke with Him and you have to lay aside your own feelings and desires and begin to say, yes, Lord, I will follow you. Now, where are you going to take me, Lord? If I'm going to follow you, where are you going to take me? Well, first of all, we need to deal with something if you're willing to go. The Bible said unto us that let us deny Himself and take up His cross. You will never get in the yoke until you deny yourself and submit yourself completely and entirely unto the Lord Jesus Christ. One of this is the hardest part of this whole message. Everything beyond this will become easier, but it is the hardest thing in the world for mankind, even Christians today, to deny themselves anything. Come on now, I want you to bear with me today. This physical body that we are embodied in today demands us to do everything it can to satisfy this physical body. It's a very difficult thing to deny this body anything it wants. If you don't think it is, try a diet. See how you get along with it. If you don't think it is, you know, why try fasting for about 3 or 4 days and see how it feels that body begins to whelm up and begins to fight against what you want because that body wants to be satisfied with all the pleasures and the worldliness and things of this world. So the hardest thing in the world for you and I to do today is to deny this body. That's why Paul said, I crucify the flesh every day. I kill it. I bring it under subjection to the Spirit of God. I do not allow it to dictate to me how I'm going to serve God, how I'm going to love God, how I'm going to worship God. I refuse to let this body tell me how that I'm going to serve the Lord. I've had several different calls, long distance calls this week, and people are disturbed about what's going on. Two of them disturbed me rather greatly. And I said, are you going to church? No. We feel like that we're pretty well satisfied now staying at home and getting the message over the TV. And I said, well, what are you going to do with the scripture where the Bible said, forsake not to assemble yourselves together? Even as that evil day approached, what are you going to do what God said? Now, I'm talking about denying yourself. The thing the devil has so cunningly devised a situation today through this virus, he's making God's people feel like they don't have to go to church anymore to worship God. Saints, it's a frightening thing of what's going on. It's not just the virus. It's not just the one man saying, we're not fighting Republicans or Democrats. We're fighting the devil as Christian people today. Because people are being so complacent that today they are satisfied sitting at home in their pajamas, drinking a cup of coffee, turning on the TV and listening to a preacher. Amen. My God, what's happened to the church world today? What's happened to the Holy Ghost church world today? That you don't want to gather together and worship God and praise God and glorify God. Well, Pastor, I'm afraid of what may happen to me if I gather together with people. What happens to your trust and faith in God? What's happened to it today? Fear is dominating the world and dominating the church world today as it's never been before. It's not the virus. It's not the demonstration. It is the onslaught of the devil to destroy the church of the living God. Let me tell you something. And I've told my wife, and I believe this with all of my heart and my soul. I believe the very next step that is going to happen, they're going to start persecuting the Christians and blaming them for what is happening in the world today. So it is time for the church to deny themselves, get back into the yoke with Jesus Christ, get back into the fellowship and the worship and the glorifying God, and let people know that there still is a light of the gospel that is shining in Souls Harbor Pentecostal Church of God. And it will shine till Jesus comes. Amen. You say, Pastor, you're stirred. Yeah, I'm stirred today because I hate that devil with a compassion of what he's doing, and so cunningly the people don't even realize what he... And if it wasn't for the Spirit of the Lord dealing with me, I wouldn't understand what he's doing. That's why I'm relating unto you what is happening today. Fear is dominating the church world today. We cannot allow that to happen. Jesus said, follow me. Where are you taking me, Lord? Where are you going to take me today? I want you to follow him today in several areas of the scripture today and see where God is taking you. The Bible said in Matthew chapter 4, the Spirit of the Lord led Jesus into the wilderness. Led him into the wilderness. I believe that the Lord today is leading us into some type of a wilderness within our Christian life, within our church life, within the gospel of Jesus Christ today. But there's a blessing in that. I want you to listen carefully. You know, Jesus fasted 40 days and 40 nights. The devil never did come to him when he was strong. The devil never came to him when he was not thirsty. He came to him after he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights and he was weak in body. And hungry and thirsty. The devil will never approach you when you're strong in Christ. He's scared to death of you when Jesus Christ is radiating within your life and within your spirit. He don't want to have anything to do with you whatsoever because he knows that he's coming against the mighty power of God Almighty. But he will come against you when you feel like you're having a wilderness experience that we are having in America today, and the virus and the demonstrations. We're in a wilderness today. So what are we going to do? We're going to succumb to it? We're going to lay down our life for it? We're going to just say, God, I don't want any more of it, and just stay at home, forget to worship? Or are we going to stand up, deny ourselves, and say, Lord, if you want to take me in the wilderness, I'll go, but I'm coming out on the other end. Amen. Come on, say amen. Amen. What happens in the wilderness? You're going to get hungry. There's going to be times in your spiritual life where you can't feel God, where you can't feel the Spirit of the Lord. There's times right now when people call me and say, Pastor, I don't know what's wrong. I can't feel the Lord anymore like I used to. because they're in a wilderness. But it was in the wilderness where Jesus defeated the devil and said, because I overcome, you can also overcome. Because greater is in you than he that is in the world today. The power of Jesus Christ radiates in our life. What do you think it is when you walk into some store and you look at that person, you say, I know they're a Christian because of the radiation of the Holy Spirit of God that radiates from their very life. The wilderness will bring the best out of you. It really will. It'll bring the best out of you. And when the wilderness is all over, the Bible said the angels came and ministered unto him. There is a day in the very near future where the angel of the Lord's going to start ministering unto you and I. Amen. And you're going to hear a certain sound that you've never heard before. You're going to feel a certain feeling that you've never felt before. You're going to feel lighter than you've ever felt before. And all of a sudden, you'll hear a voice say, come up a little higher. And you will stand before the presence of God. And Jesus will say to the Father, here's my bride that came through the wilderness. Amen. Where else are you going to take me, Lord? Well, I'm going to take you to Gethsemane. Oh, God. Oh, God. Not Gethsemane, Lord. Not Gethsemane, Father. Don't take me there. And Jesus went there with all of his disciples except one. And while Jesus was at Gethsemane, the disciples were sleeping. And I'm afraid that's what's happening today. You say, Pastor, what is Gethsemane? It is a place where that you commit your life to Jesus Christ, as Jesus committed his life unto the Father and said, Father, it's hard for me to deny myself, and I'm not sure I want to go through what, Lord, what you want me to go through. But nevertheless, Father, thy will be done. I will do it by the grace of God. I'm just willing today to go follow Jesus to Gethsemane. Follow him there and lay your life on that rock in Jerusalem. Prostrate before God and say, Father, not my will, but thine be done. I'll go where you want me to go. I'll do what you want me to do. I'll say what you want me to say. I'll be faithful. I'll deny myself. I'll stand up for you. I'll let my light shine. I'm going to glorify you. I'm going to be faithful to you. Whatever it is, Lord Jesus, I'll do it. I'll pay the price. When I look at some of the old saints of God today in the church, and Sister June, 90-some years old, and well, I'm not a young chick anymore anyhow, you know, and some of us, we fought the good fight of faith. We've laid hold on eternal life. And we're going to receive our reward by the grace of God as long as we're willing to go to Gethsemane. How about going to church? Jesus was 12 years old when he first went to church. Well, outside of his baptismal. He started going to church at 12 years old. His mother and daddy had taken him so they could pay their taxes. They had paid their taxes. They'd gone a day's journey down the road. They did not know Jesus was with them, and that's what the world is like today. They didn't know Christ was not with them. They went back for 3 days trying to find the Lord. How long have you been trying to get back in the good graces of God? And when they found him in the temple teaching the priest, the high priest, the wonderful words of God's law. Listen to me. After that and during the ministry of Christ, the Bible said that Jesus most often was found in the tabernacle ministering to the people and healing the sick in body. No wonder Jesus said that, forsake not to assemble yourselves together, so much more as you see that evil day approaching. If it was good enough for Christ, it ought to be good enough for you and I. Amen. Come on, say amen. Now I'm preaching to people that are faithful. And probably you don't, Pastor, why are you telling me that? I come to church, but I'm trying to tell you the devil's trying to take it away from you. Stand up for him. Amen. All right, I'm going to try to summarize this. I got so much I want to tell you, but you're going to have to go to the cross. You're going to have to go to the cross with Christ and die out to the things of this world. Commit your life to Christ in such a way this world has no tie on you, no hold whatsoever. Where you'll be able to sing the song, ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. I'm coming up out of this ground. Amen. Listen to me. The cross will take all of the world out of you. It will take it all. The cross took everything out of Jesus. His life, his breath, his way of thinking, his way of teaching, his way of hearing. Everything was gone out of him at the cross. And when you come to the cross and you nail yourself to that cross of Christ, it's going to have to be that all of the worldly things are coming out of you. All the worldly pleasures, everything this world offers you today is going to have to come out of you. In Matthew chapter 4, when Jesus was tempted by the devil, and the devil took him up, put him on the temple, highest point he could, he showed him all the world. He showed him all the beautiful women. He showed him all the beautiful chariots. He showed him the pomp and the glory that you can have. Jesus, you can have it all. All you have to do is bow down to me. And that's what he's offering you and I today. But listen to me, there's going to be a day when he's going to bow before God. Amen. And God's going to put him in an eternal lake of fire where he'll be there forever and ever and ever. Last but not least, we're going to follow him to the resurrection. Amen. Listen, the book lets us to know in the book of Matthew chapter 28, and at the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn on the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene, the other Mary, to the sepulcher, and behold, there was a great earthquake. The angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and set upon him. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the woman, fear ye not, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, but he is risen. Come and see the place where he lies. Amen. And then here's what the Lord Jesus said unto you and I. And David said in Matthew or in Psalms 23, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. Amen. We all must do that. But listen, here, now I want you to see this. When Jesus arose victorious over death, hell, and the grave, when he came out of that grave, and I can prove this by the word of God, that those that were dead were held into what you would call purgatory, which is not, it's a bad word to use, but they were held in a place where Christ presented himself during that 3 days walking corridors of hell. And when Jesus came out of the grave, all them people were found walking in the streets of Jerusalem. Because when Christ came out of the grave, they came out of the grave. So listen, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, crucified, though he were dead, yet shall he live. In the book of Revelation 1 and 18, Jesus said, I've got the keys. He said, I am he that was dead and is alive, and I'm alive forevermore, and I have the keys to death and hell. Jesus Christ will reward every child of God that will stand before him, take up his cross, and follow him regardless of the route that you go in. Are you willing to do that today? Are you willing to go against sin, corruption, the devil? Are you willing to pray, God, give me understanding of what's going on in the spiritual world? Father, I don't care about the virus. I don't care about the demonstration. God, show me what the devil's trying to do. God, give me understanding so I can fight against it and stand up for Jesus Christ in these perilous times. Think about it today. Father in heaven, we thank you today. Lord Jesus, for your word, we thank you today, Father, for the knowledge that Christ gives unto all of his children, all of his people, to let them know what's going on. God, we're not ignorant to the ways of the devil, because the Bible said the Spirit of the Lord will reveal these things unto his children. And I'm asking you to reveal these things unto the mind of our church, of our people, of our leadership, God, of our board. God, reveal unto these men and these women, Father, what the enemy is trying to do, and help them to combat it, come against it in the name of the Lord. And Father, I pray with all of my heart you'd help us to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and to follow you in Jesus' name. Amen. I trust God has spoken to your heart today, for he has spoken to my heart. We need to realize the perilous times we're in, but we really need eyes. It just brings us one day closer to the coming of Jesus Christ. Yoke yourself with Christ today. He'll help you bear that burden, whatever you're going through. He'll carry the biggest part of the load. All you have to do is just walk together in unison with the Lord Jesus. Amen? Amen.